football on off the ball.
We're coming to that stage where, unfortunately, we're losing teams that we were hoping would light up the tournament for a bit more time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. So you'll have seen the awful news last week that Philip Doyle, former coach of the Ireland and of the Scotland national women's teams, passed away at the age of just 61. He led Ireland to the Grand Slam in 2013, which we all remember, and then that famous win against New Zealand at the World Cup in 2014, where Ireland made the semi-finals. And we have two former Ireland stars who played under Doyle with us on the line. We have Fiona Hayes with us. Fiona, very good evening to you.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
All good. And Alison Miller is here with us as well. Alison, how are you doing?
I'm good, Owen. How are you?
All good. Appreciate you both doing this for us because, as I say, tragic news coming through last week. Fiona, you might kick us off here. First of all, your reaction to when this news was broken to you.
Yeah, a former rugby player, one of the girls basically that I would have played the front row with, drafted me a text early morning, and I was in complete shock, as she was in shock, because she was actually on her way over to England and met Goose on the ferry over the day previous, and was chatting to him. Ailish Egan was chatting to him on the ferry. He was with his friends or whatever, and he was heading off on the motorbike, and she hadn't seen him in ages. So she said she had a great chat with him, and she just texted me then early morning, the next morning, to say that had I heard the news and how shocked she was as she'd just been speaking to him. So it was just absolutely crazy. I hadn't heard, so she was the first person to give me a shout.
God, that is absolutely haunting. Alison, for you, your first reaction to this when the news is broken to you?
Yeah, huge shock. It was actually Jenny Murphy that let me know, and I woke up kind of in the middle of the night to a message, which was really, really shocking. You know, he's such an influential part of the women's game, obviously in Ireland, but he had his influence obviously in Scotland and around the club scene and the provincial scene in Ireland. So yeah, the last time I was talking to him was, it would have been in the Aviva at the cap ceremony. So yeah, it was such a shock, and obviously such a difficult time for his wife, Nicola, and the kids. So just, you know, we're thinking of them, and I hope they're doing okay.
I think what we're going to try and do in this piece is to just try and put a bit of context on how influential he was. And we'll probably go down memory lane here a bit for you both in terms of those amazing moments, particularly in 2013 and in 2014. Fiona, for you in 2013, I'm right in saying that Philip would have given you your Ireland debut.
Yeah, he did. He did. And, you know, it ended up being one of the best years of my life, 2013. Obviously, the year we won the Grand Slam, and I had been kind of thereabouts the year before, but I got a knee injury and I didn't make it. And he would have rang me the previous kind of before those camps started in 2012, essentially on the back of my performances. And I'll never forget even getting that phone call, because you know, you're constantly waiting. That's the goal you want to be at. And he gave me a shout. And obviously, it's funny. I'm thinking now back a lot, Owen, you know, as a player, you know, when you're on the bench and you're constantly trying to get on that starting team. And myself and Goose would have had a few discussions around that, whether I agreed with him or didn't agree with him. But it's now when I've become a coach in the last 10, 11 years. It's just how I view the game and how special a person. Obviously, I knew how special a man he was at the time with everything that we've done. But like, it's just looking back now that I'm coaching, you know, like everything that I thought was criticism or different areas, it was him he's mapped out my path, made me a stronger person. For him to give me my debut at the time, and I was probably a little bit mad. I'll tell a tiny quick story as well along that. He actually warmed, I got my debut against England, right? Which was unbelievable. And it's probably part of my greatest storytelling attribute now, because I was the only person that didn't lose to England, you know, at that time, and I rubbed it in the girls for a long time. But I'd actually warmed up the week before, and I was about to go on, and it was too late, and I didn't get a chance over in Wales, and I was really frustrated with that. So to get, you know, in hindsight, to get my debut against England, it was probably one of the most perfect timings on that, and I'm forever grateful for that, for how he, you know, how he spoke to me, I suppose, when his ability to get you off the bench, and how he spoke to me just before I went on and calmed everything in a situation where we were running really well against an England team. I mean, the nerves were through the roof, and it's just how good a coach he is. It wasn't a big, long conversation, just a couple of words. He knew what to say, when to say them, and he always got the best out of everyone that he could do. And I probably see it a lot more now. Later in life, at the time, I would have said, oh, this and that. And I've met him and we've chatted about that since I've been coaching as well. But certainly so happy for him to give me that day. And that's something that's lived on in my memory forever, that year in rugby, especially 2013. And he was the man leading that ship.
Alison, for you, that year is no doubt one of the great years of your sporting life as well. And that game against England, no doubt one of the highlights, if not the highlight for you. 25-0, a hat-trick of tries. Do you remember the sort of disagreements going on between Fiona Hayes and the boss during that Six Nations?
Not really. But what I will say, I will agree with Fiona. Like, he was so driven. He was so determined. He put so much... in an era we were not professional, he was a professional coach, doing it all for nothing and putting in so much time and effort and commitment. And what I really respected about him, he wasn't a yes man. He didn't pander to people. That he knew what he had to do for us at the time as the women's team, and he had to fight people and knock down doors to get what he felt we deserved. And I really always admired him for that he wasn't a yes man. He wasn't telling people what they wanted to hear. He was telling people what they needed to hear. And I think that just sums him up. And like, I admire people that are like that. I really do. For me, like, the gas thing was, after the match, he only found out I'd scored a hat-trick. He didn't even know during the game. Which I think is really, really brilliant, because it was never for him. It was never about one player. There was no stars. Everyone was equal. It was all about everyone doing their job. And that's how, for him, how we had success. Is if everyone did what they were meant to be doing, we would achieve what we did and we did. And what we'll always say about him is, in my book, whenever I looked at his team selections, I couldn't fault him. I always think that he, you know, he picked the right team at the time. And yeah, I admire him for that. And I think he had unbelievably high standards. And I remember dreading his camps. They were so hard. Like, they were so, so hard. And you go down on a Saturday morning to Enfield, and you would know, you'd be thinking in your head, oh, how am I going to get through this weekend? This is going to be brutal. Brutal. Like, literally, I don't think ever, like, since then did I ever dread something. But, you know, that's what made us. And as I said, he, it was probably the summer of 2014 I saw his absolute commitment to us trying to succeed in that World Cup. As I said, like, he wasn't getting paid. You know, that summer of 2014, leading into the World Cup in Marcoussi, he ran skills sessions all week. So he'd take one in Limerick, he'd take one in Cork, he'd take one in Galway, Belfast. So his commitment to us achieving what we did was unbelievable. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people that are involved in the women's game are looking to our career coaches. They're looking maybe to get into the men's game, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But for Goose, I think his passion was always the women's game and trying to develop. But obviously his wife, Nicola, had played at high level. So for him, you know, he was always concerned about improving the women's game wherever he saw fit. And I think you know, for him to achieve that first ever Grand Slam, you know, was fitting that he really, really deserved it. Yeah, he was just really unselfish in the way that he went about coaching us. And, you know, he's a bit of a character. Like, I think he had, like, as I think Lynn Cantwell mentioned during the week, I think in a statement, that he had a soft side to him. And he didn't often show that, but I remember in the 2014 World Cup, I was probably going through a little bit of a difficult phase, I'd say, just in the lead up to the World Cup, when I really saw the soft, gentle side of him. And I remember really appreciating that at the time. I really needed it at the time. And he didn't show that off that often, but he did when he knew it was needed for someone. And so he probably had a very good understanding of.
Just seemed to have lost Alison there in the middle of that story. Do you want to come in there, Fiona, on the point around how brutal those training sessions were? Is that something you can give credence to?
Yeah, but I'm a forward. I absolutely loved it. I loved every bit of it. Alison's back there, so the backs didn't love the training sessions as much as some people. It was absolutely brutal, but it made us so resilient and so able for whatever the likes of France and England, who were probably the more physical teams at the time, were going to bring. Because of those sessions, I think we went to. Did we go to an army base as well at one stage, Ali? They sent us down to the car. down to the car, all these different things. You know, I suppose they were doing it. Now it's a lot of teams do stuff like that. But back then it was kind of a bonding thing, but also deep, deep levels of going to a dark, unknown place with guys roaring and shouting at you. So it was the training sessions, the detail. It was such a huge jump from going from the likes of club or province, and as Ali said, he just wanted that level that he knew that semi-professional was all we were able to get at the time, but he wanted those sessions and those camps to be the best that he could give us and the coaching staff around us could give.
Because that jump from club or provincial level to national level is an interesting theme from around that time. Like, even when you look through Doyle's CV, it was Leinster to Ireland, then his next gig was Leinster again, and then Ireland again. So he went between the provincial system and the national system. And as we know, even from contemporary discussions, the provincial system is loose, maybe not overly organised compared to the men's game, certainly. And that has certainly gone through a transition phase, even though there's a lot of work that needs to be done on that front still. So back in 2009, 2010, Alison, I'm not sure how involved you were in the Leinster setup before you get involved with Ireland in 2010, but that definitely felt like an interesting contrast.
She'll tell you this one. She loves telling this one. Go on, Ali.
I actually never played for Leinster, even though from Leinster, so right. I didn't actually get picked for Leinster, they didn't pick me, they didn't want me, but I played with Connacht for 10 years after. So I stayed loyal, stayed true, but look, Connacht gave me the opportunity to do all the amazing things we got to do with, you know, I would have actually, it was my first debut year in 2010, so to kind of see where we went from there to, like, I have to say, like, 2014, that summer, the World Cup, that wasn't as professional as, like, even years after, when we were saying we were more professional and we were saying, you know, this, that and the other, that was actually, like, hands down. And I think a really good sign, he didn't have a huge ego. He wanted to surround himself also with the best coaches that he could. And he knew that, you know, he had his expertise in certain areas, but he wanted to, get someone that had expertise in other areas. I know that summer of 2014, he liaised with Joe Smith and Les Kiss, and he would be, you know, getting what their feedback on it too. So, like, he was always open-minded about who he had in with him and trying to get the best coaches around and, you know, make the best team that he could. A funny memory I have of myself and Ashley Baxter, he'd be getting set up for a meeting, and a really important meeting, and then I remember him, like, you know, tripping up over the laptop wires, and, you know, me and Ashley just, like, burst out laughing because, you know, he's obviously so angry that he had tripped up over the wires, and then he'd look at us laughing, and then we'd be laughing, and it would defuse the whole thing. And, you know, that's one of the memories I have. It happened two or three times. You know, nowadays you can have all these, you know, high tech things probably without so many wires and stuff. But yeah, and he was, you know, he definitely enjoyed, you know, people's personalities as well, and he was up for a bit of crack as well. But it had to be the right time. Yeah. And I think that was, you knew that. You knew when you were on and when you were working hard, but I think then he was up for, you know, fun and enjoyment when it was the right time. And I think you have to know that as a player, because but I really respected that in him. When you look back, he treated us the way you'd expect to be treated, and not to be, you know, not to be pandered to, or not to be told you're this, that, the other. Like, you know, he gave it to you brutally, which I personally think that's the best way, because that's the only way you learn. And like, I don't mean brutal in a bad way, but it was honest, it was heartfelt, and he'd give you things to work on. And, you know, there was no beating about around the bush. And I think that's, you know, he was direct, but I think everyone, there was no problem with that at the time, because we were all so connected, and we had all decided that's the way we wanted it, and we were together as a team. So there was no one, you know, getting annoyed about that, because that's what we'd all agreed on. And I think that it works like that when you're on the same page and you leave your ego behind. You're just there for the good of the team. I think he was really good at doing that. Like, there was no stars projected this or that. It was like, you know, we're all here. You could be, you know, whatever, you know, Niamh Briggs doing this, that, or the other, or, you know, Nora Stapleton, or Fiona Coffin, the captain. We all had work on, so we all knew that. So I appreciate now, I look back and I appreciate that we were driven hard, because I don't think without him we wouldn't have achieved the success we did. And, you know, as I said, he wasn't the yes man. He wasn't pandering to people, telling them what they wanted to hear, you know, high up, you know, because when we look back at the time, you know, when you look back at some of the things now, they weren't okay. Like, they weren't okay.
Just having a bit of an issue there with Alison's line. I think, Fiona, we can probably make out what she's just trying to tee us up on there, which was the infrastructure around the team maybe not being in an amazing place, despite the fact that the team were making history, particularly in 2013 and 2014. Do you want to just pick up on that point?
Yeah, look, like, we know all that stuff before, I suppose, in 2013 in particular. Like, there is a funny story around a half time where that first game against Wales, we all ran into the dressing room, but Wales do what they would do. It was the smallest little dressing room going, and they locked the door, so we'd had to stand outside for a couple of seconds, but a goose broke down the door, and we got in there eventually. And I think to this day, Joy and some of the girls reckon that it might have been locked at all. He could have just got it wrong and not opened the handle. But that was kind of back then what you were dealing with. We were all squeezing into a tiny room. There was stuff like that able to go on between different countries, putting you on different pitches, putting you on places that the flights don't go to, knowing that you probably can't afford to be flying direct to these places. So I think that was all part and parcel of the Six Nations rugby back then. Obviously, it's all changed now for the better, but certainly I think he was at the forefront in pushing it. But just on the way Ali spoke as well, it was never brought up. It wasn't a discussion at that time, because our business, and he was a firm believer in, you know, we train hard, whatever we have or whatever's against us, we've done the work at home, we train hard. Him and the backroom staff will look after anything that we need or anything that's missing. And I think that gave us that ability in 2013 in particular to just concentrate on what was going on, I suppose, on the pitch. Even, I'm not sure, was it the same year, Ali, when the lights broke in Ashburn as well, and the floodlights? That was 2015. All right, yeah. They all roll into one. But just in general, it was his ability. There was loads of stuff against the team at the time. There wouldn't have even been pressure on back in 2013, because I don't think there would have been a single line written about us in the paper until coming up to that Grand Slam game, and that's when things started to change. But certainly internally, anything that he could have done for us, he would have done, and we were able to just concentrate on those on-field games and training sessions, I suppose.
Yeah, Alison, you're back with us.
Yeah, even Fiona makes a good point. The famous trip to Po in 2012, like we obviously flew to Paris, we were meant to get then a train to Po. I mean, the flight was delayed, rush hour traffic, we missed the train to Po. But, you know, Philip Doyle and Gemma Crowley, they just handled it. They didn't let us know how worried they were that we'd get there. They just said, off you go off for an hour, get some food. And they had the whole thing sorted by the time we came back. Fiona makes really good points. They, you know, Goose and I suppose his management team, they quietly battled down doors and thought we never had needed to know about it. You know, like it's only years later you kind of hear things and, you know, now I can say, oh, you know, he did this and that. But when we were players, we just turned up and we had the best of what we had and we played and we trained in, you know, great facilities and things like that. So that's a credit to him as well. That was hard to do as well. And I'm sure he was frustrated at times or probably angry over things, but he never brought it, you know, onto the pitch with him. It just was, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that, and let's get to it. So,
Was it he who didn't pick you for Leinster in the first place, Alison?
It was, yeah. So the girls used to like to remind him of that every now and then. But all he used to say was, she wasn't ready. But, we did have a laugh at that over. Len Brown used to like to remind him a lot. You know, Len was an analysis and would remind him, you know, the odd time. Or the girls would ask or someone would go, you know, he was, why is Alison playing for Connacht? You know, when I had Port Leash was my club, but it was like Alison Miller, you know, Port Leash RFC, Connacht. And everyone, all the questions, like, why does she think they're playing for Connacht? But, yeah. So that was, a funny story.
It must be really special, Alison. You know, obviously it's a really sort of grim reason as to why we're having this conversation at this moment, but for better or for worse, whenever we talk about a figure from the 2013 team or for the 2014 team, we talk about those. There's a couple of games, really. They're like the England game is such a signature moment in the Grand Slam. I know it's five games, but that really is the moment. And then obviously you have the Black Ferns moment a year later. And you've got four tries scored between the two games, I think, if we were to pinpoint them down. That must just be unbelievably special for you, just to have this constant drumbeat of being reminded about those two moments and the joy that you gave to so many people and how their careers with Irish women's rugby have been affirmed by those moments which you were so central to.
Yeah, I suppose, I'm not trying to be modest here, but I think... it was great to score those tries in very important moments, but you know, we were so connected on a team that we understood, you know, I was just, you know, finishing line and put us into space, and I really do think, like, I wouldn't have become the player I did become and played up to 2019 without, I suppose, you know, a management team like, you know, Philip and, you know, Greg McWilliams and Peter Bracken and all those people. You didn't go around then thinking you were amazing or anything, you know, you always still had your work-ons. And I think sometimes I look at, you know, teams now when we kind of sometimes go over the top about a player, you know, sometimes we can, for the wrong way or the other, like someone has a poor game, oh, they're finished, or, you know, someone has an amazing game and they're suddenly a superstar and they're, you know, but I don't think during our time with Philip you were ever allowed to get like that, which, you know, I really appreciate now, like, because you might have scored a try against New Zealand or a try against England, but, you know, you need technically improve something or your defence needs work, you know, so, yeah, it's amazing.
We're going to leave Alison there, just that line has just let us down. One too many times, we're going to wrap it up anyway, Fiona. And the last word we heard Alison say was amazing there, which I think you'd probably echo in terms of the moments that she contributed to that Philip Doyle team and also your own experiences as a result of what Philip Doyle brought to proceedings.
Yeah, and look, it's kind of you. It's now you get to reflect on that journey. Obviously, there was the cap ceremony was huge for everyone, and there was a lot of chats around that. But I think amazing is the word for what Goose did for us all. I know even I met him a couple of years ago, well, last year when I was coaching down in Bowes as well. He went back in involved as a director of rugby into Black Rock. The girls all around absolutely adored him, what he brought, the same kind of ethos on the game. And just... for him, I think he was able to finish on, yes, Blackrock didn't win, but he was able to go back. Nicola always played with Blackrock all her whole life. That's his club as well. He went back in. They got to the semi-final and the club is pushing on. And obviously, I think for him to go in there and be part of that process the last couple of years, it just shows, even though he was gone from women's rugby, he was still lured back in again later in life, and he just absolutely adored the game. He was an amazing person, an amazing coach, and he has been written in the history books in women's rugby, and so he should be, because what he gave, like Ali said, without money, without anything, it was just sheer love of the game. And as someone who's coaching now and who's played underneath him, I just see... definitely these days now I see what he gave, how he gave it, and how he shaped everything to work out perfectly. Because at the end of the day, maybe if Ali got picked for Leinster, maybe she mightn't have become the player she was. Maybe she mightn't have had that chip on her shoulder that made her absolutely run riot down in Connacht. So everybody's path was shaped by what his decisions were. And maybe at the time you mightn't agree, but certainly now I can see what an amazing positive influence he was on women's rugby.
Brilliant. Fiona Hayes is who you've just been listening to. We also had Alison Miller there with us on the line. Two of the players on that legendary Women's Ireland team from 2013, Grand Slam winners to beating the Black Ferns and becoming World Cup semi-finalists in 2014. Fiona, well said this evening. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll chat to you soon.
Cheers, Owen. Thanks a mil.
Thanks, Fiona. We'll take a quick break.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.